So I'm Claire, and I'm filling in today. I'm the Director of Faith Formation here at Bethany. If you are worshiping with us for the first time, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. Would you take those folders at the end of the pews and pass those down? In it are our prayer and connect cards. We'd love to get in touch with you and tell you more about the ministry and mission here at Bethany. And if you've got a prayer request or praise, would you fill out those prayer cards so that we can be praying for you? Those can be dropped in the offering plates or out at the connection centers. So when I was thinking about today's reading, I remembered that when I was in ninth grade, I went to a Catholic school. I was raised Catholic. And all the freshmen at this high school had to take a class with Mr. Meeting, and it was called Prayer, Mass, and Sacraments, PMS. Yeah. Prayer, Mass, and Sacraments. Now, why they named a class for high school freshmen that, I'm not sure. And it kind of felt as bad as PMS sometimes, because its sole purpose was to indoctrinate us in all things Catholic. And I especially remember this one day when we were talking about the rules for living with others, and I can still hear Mr. Meeting's voice saying, "No cohabitation." And my friends would ask questions like, "But what if we're just friends, Mr. Meeting?" And he would come back, "No cohabitation." And then another person would ask another question, and we just kept getting the same non-answer of no cohabitation. And it could be that my classmates were being ninth grade jerks, trying to push the boundaries of a risky, embarrassing topic. But I walked away from that conversation feeling that questions, they weren't going to be honored. They weren't even going to be considered or really even acknowledged. That the church just had its rules, that's that. Follow with no question, no critical thought, anything. And I think many of us have had an experience of church like this. And I don't want to sound like it's all the Catholic Church, because I've met many a Lutheran or evangelical or other brand of Christian that have really similar sounding experiences. Because as people, we're really good at making rules, and we're even better at making sure other people follow our rules. And the church falls into this trap often. So before I go any further today, I want to say something on behalf of the church. And that's, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the wrongs that the church may have caused you. I'm sorry for the pain and the wounds that have been inflicted on you because of some church rule. I'm sorry because rules and even right or moral living, that's not the central part of our faith. No, the central part of our faith, the essential thing about our faith, is an event. It's the death and resurrection of Jesus. And believing in this unbelievable event is what makes a Christian a Christian. But not in that strict, rule-following, unquestioning, unbending way that Mr. Meeting presented in PMS class. No, you see, faith is something else. And so today I want to look at John's gospel and see, how is it that Jesus is actually presented in this? Is it strict, unbending, or is it something else? And while today's story comes at the end of the gospel, I think to really understand it, we got to go back to the beginning of the gospel and see what kind of patterns and themes that John really represents. And the first theme we get in John's gospel is questions. Questions are a huge part of the story. So take a look at the first words Jesus speaks in the gospel. It says this: when Jesus turned and saw them, that some of the soon-to-be disciples, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" What are you looking for? You see, the first thing Jesus says isn't some big proclamation about how he's God or how we should beg for forgiveness or even how he came to save us because we're so full of sins. Nope, the first thing he says is, "What are you looking for?" So I want to ask you today, what are you looking for? Why did you come to church today? Are you curious about all this faith stuff, or did somebody twist your arm and here you are? Are you here out of some sense of obligation or duty? Are you here looking for Jesus? Are you hoping that Jesus will show up today? Are you coming with questions and grief and unanswered things? What are you looking for? All right, let's stay in this first chapter just a bit longer. The second thing that happens is this. When Jesus says, what are you looking for? The disciples say back to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? You see, they answer Jesus' question with another question, right? Where are you staying? And then we get this awesome line that's the second theme that I want to point out today, and that's in Jesus' reply to them. He says, come and see. Come and see. Note how invitational that is. And a really close reading might put it more accurately as come and you will see. I think there's a promise in that. Come and we will see. We will find Jesus. And what happens next? Here's what the end of that verse says. They came and they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. Jesus follows through on his promises. What are you looking for? Where are you staying? They came and they saw. Come and see. That really is the outline of John's gospel, because those themes get repeated over and over in each of the stories going further. And so it's no surprise that when we turn back to chapter 20, our verses for today, that these same themes come jumping out. So in the first verse of chapter 20, it says this: early the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away. She came and she saw. And she doesn't quite understand. Twice, once in verse 2 and then again in verse 13, she says, they've taken the Lord. They've taken the Lord. She knows that Jesus died. She saw that. And she can't seem to make sense of where he could be. He couldn't be alive. So the only thing that makes sense to her is he must have been taken. But when she meets Jesus outside the tomb, see what he says to her. He says, who are you looking for? Right? Mary's still stuck on the fact that she can't find Jesus, but Jesus wants to remind us who this is all about. Who are you really looking for? And then Jesus calls Mary by name, and she realizes that she's talking with Jesus. And then, and only then, can she proclaim this, that Mary went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. This same pattern gets repeated with Peter and John. When they come to the tomb and when Jesus meets the disciples the first time, he shows them his sides and his hands. And it's that then when it starts to click. It's then that maybe this could be for real. And why? Because they saw. See, Jesus continues to come in the midst of people. He's with them. He invites them and invites us to come and see. He answers their questions, and then we can proclaim, I have seen the Lord. That's really different than the faith that was presented to me in ninth grade. Come and see. So now when we get to this third appearance of Jesus, this third time Jesus appears to somebody, and it's for Thomas this time, right? Because he missed out the first time. Where he was, I don't know. Maybe he was in Napa with Pastor John. We don't know where he was. And the disciples have told Thomas, we have seen the Lord. And Thomas is like, no, no, no. Until I see it for myself, you guys, I can't believe. It's too crazy. It's too big. It's too much. Right? And we have to remember that Thomas has been in deep mourning for over a week now. And maybe some of you are in a season of mourning. Maybe you're mourning a death. Or maybe you're mourning some other kind of loss. Maybe it's the loss of yourself to an addiction. The loss of a relationship, the loss of a job or position, the loss of health, the loss of control over some situation. Maybe we know all too well what it's like to be caught in mourning. And it's almost as if the disciples are asking Thomas, what are you looking for? And it's like Thomas's response is saying, I'm looking for proof that it was real, that what Jesus experienced here on earth and on up on that cross, that that was real, that the love that Thomas felt from Jesus and the love that Jesus had for Thomas, that that was real, that the cross was real, that that pain and grief that he was feeling right there in that moment, that that was real, and that the hope that he heard in those disciples' words, we have seen the Lord, that that hope could also be real. And so what does Jesus do? Here's what we read. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them this time, and though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. In the moment, Jesus stands again in the midst of the disciples. And I think it's as if Jesus came and was just standing in the middle of Thomas's pain. And then the gospel says, Jesus says to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand, put it in my side. And it's by saying these words, put your hand on my side, it's Jesus is saying, come, see, it's real. I'm here. This happened. I'm here in the good and the bad. I'm here with the scars to prove that it was real. You see, Jesus invites Thomas to come and see both the pain and the hope for new life. And that this new life can be real. And that's what's central to our faith. This death, this resurrection, this hope, this relationship that we get to have with Jesus that stands in our midst, in our pain, in our grief, in our joy, in the bringing of hope. That's what our faith is about. And then Jesus says to Thomas, don't be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas, without even missing a beat, we don't even hear that he goes and he pokes his fingers in his hands or looks closely at him. We don't hear that Thomas spent 10 minutes just poking at Jesus, nothing. We hear, come and see, don't be unbelieving, but believing. And then immediately Thomas shouts, my Lord and my God. He proclaims it. He has seen the Lord. You see, there's this pattern. Jesus met Mary, Jesus met the disciples, and then Jesus meets Thomas, all in their questions, in their grief. And Jesus meets them not as this cleaned up, perfect, glowing, white Jesus, but as a scarred Jesus. Because it's the scars that are the proof that it was real. And I know you might be thinking, Claire, you know, Jesus said come and see, but we don't get to come and see. We don't get to, you know, ask Jesus our questions. How is it that Jesus can be in and amidst our grief and our pain? And those are great questions. And you're right. We don't get to see the scars and the nails like Thomas did. But we do get to see the Lord in other ways. And this week, I went about asking other people, where have you seen the Lord? And I asked every group that I meet with, and I meet with a lot of people during the week, and so I asked a lot of people, where have you seen the Lord? And at first I kind of got these standard answers of, in the sunset. And I thought, yes, that's so true, but let's dig a little deeper. And so then they said, at my kid's birth. And I thought, yes, but what about recently? And so I put this caveat on it, where have you seen the Lord this week? Because I think sometimes we think, God is in the big and in those mountaintop experiences, but where have you seen God with the scars? Where have you seen the Lord this week? And that's when those stories started really pouring out. And I want to share a couple of them with you. And these are things I didn't make up. People actually told me, people from our very own congregation told me these things. One person wrote to me and said, I was writing in my journal asking God to help me because I had this feeling that I've been struggling with. I've been trying to understand it. I've got all these questions. I'm trying to let go of some of these feelings that I have. And then I just got this idea to look back in my journals from a year or so ago. And it was in one of my old journals that I got the answer that I was looking for. She told me it was like I was having a conversation by flipping it back, and I'd asked the question, and then I flipped open to this other page, and it was like God was speaking to me through my own words in this journal entry, and I knew what to do. I knew what to do. She saw the Lord in that journal entry. Another person said that a person who used to live in his apartment complex called him up out of the blue and started sharing with him how his addictions were getting the best of him and how he was just in this really dark, horrible place. And he called my friend because he knew my friend is a praying person, and so he called to see if that maybe he could pray with him. And so they did. And my friend saw the Lord in that interaction, in those scars, in that hope that was beginning to come out. My friend saw the Lord because this man had already knew that it was only God that he should be dependent on. Another woman shared with me that she's had a very strained relationship with her son and daughter-in-law for over 10 years, and then just this past week, a small little opening happened in this relationship. A small beginning, a place for healing and mending happened because her son told her he's going to come and visit her this summer. And this is something that hasn't happened in over 10 years, have they been able to come and visit. She said only God could do this. She saw the Lord. And then there's my friend who I've been praying with for almost 2 years because her parents have been in a hard place and she's been trying to find new housing for them where they can have their needs taken care of. And every week we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And then finally this week it happened. And everything was smooth. She was able to move her parents out of their home into their new apartment. And she saw the Lord in every step. Every step over this last 2 years, she saw the Lord. Helping, guiding, being in her midst. You see, John's gospel tells us that Jesus is invitational. Jesus asks, who are we looking for? And invites us to come and see. And then empowers us to boldly go out and say, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord because we have experienced God in the depths of our grief. We have seen the Lord because we have met Jesus in our questions. We have seen the Lord because we can believe even in our unbelief, even when we're unsure, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it seems unbelievable. Jesus shows up in our midst, behind our locked doors, and offers us hope and peace. Let's pray. God, will you show up this week? Will you make your presence known so that we can come and see you in our lives? Will you make us bold enough to proclaim that we believe even with our doubts, even with our questions? God, will you open our eyes so that we can proclaim that we have seen the Lord? Amen.